Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And if you're able, I would like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Today we're looking at Jesus, an exalted King. And actually, I'm going to start in verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what comfort and what joy your word brings that we know Jesus ascended back into heaven and he is now seated at your right hand. And Father God, we know that one day very soon, Jesus will come back in like manner, setting his foot upon the Mount of Olives. And Lord, we are looking forward to that day. But God, as your Son Jesus gave the Great Commission, let us as your Christian people, as your children, be obedient that we should go out into the highways and byways to our neighbors' homes and that we would witness and tell them about Jesus Christ and pray, and Father God, that you would allow us, Father, to lead those to Christ. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I mean, so much excitement has taken place at this time. Last week I preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and Jesus, over 40 days, had made different appearances to different ones. Now, the Bible doesn't say what he was foretelling of the kingdom of God, but I'm almost sure that Jesus was letting his disciples know and that he was letting other people know the great importance that it was that we take the message of salvation and share it with those who are dead in their sins and dead in their trespasses. Now, I say that because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and shed his blood and then rose from the dead on the third day, giving us life. And that should give us the excitement to go and share with other people all around us all the things that Christ had done for us. So now we're seeing after 40 days, the time has now come that Jesus is going to ascend back into heaven. Now, Jesus gave them specific instructions to stay where they were in Jerusalem because they were about to receive the power. They were about to receive the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. Now, we know that Jesus going away, Jesus said, I will send to you another comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit abides with God's people day in and day out. And I want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit living with inside of you gives you the power and the ability to live a wholesome life for Christ and to be obedient to the scriptures that God has given us in His Word. Now, life, we know, now Jesus knew that life was going to be full of hardships because what did Jesus do? Jesus experienced and endured a lot of hard things in His life because He wanted to show us, His children, His people, that we were going to experience the same things and how to respond to those things in life. But the great thing is, when you and I became Christians, we received the Holy Spirit immediately. I want to say something real quick and then I'll get off the soapbox on that. There's a lot of Christian people who pray and pray and pray and pray because they've not been taught the right way. But there's a lot of people who pray, oh Lord, I got saved, but Lord, just send me your Holy Spirit. And they'll pray this every day. And there's a lot of people who pray every day. And they, Lord, I just need the power of your Holy Spirit. I want you to please listen to what I'm about to say. The moment that you got saved, Jesus came to live in your heart, but even that, the Holy Spirit was given to you at that time. You don't have to go through your entire Christian life begging God to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon you as you got saved, as you became a child of Christ. The Holy Spirit abides within you day after day. But here's the thing. You and I as Christian people have to seek the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to help us to grow, to help nurture us in the love of Christ, to strengthen us. So the second part is answered as well. You don't have to keep asking God for power from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's alive inside of you, the power was given to you already. And since it is a free gift from God, then it is up to us as Christian people to take a hold of the power, to take a hold of everything that Christ has given us through the Holy Spirit and put it to work in our lives. That's the only way it'll work if you work it. Let me say that. Now, you can put a horse and a plow in front of you, but until you take a hold of that plow and make that horse work, your fields won't get plowed and the seed won't get planted. So what God has given to you, I am challenging you today, and I want to remind you as a charge from Jesus Christ that we are to put our hands to the plow. We are to take the power that the Holy Spirit has given to us, and we are to get our feet moving, completing the work that Christ has given us to do. That was the Great Commission. Go into the world, preaching the gospel to every creature or every person, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So firstly, today I want to take a look at the work that was accomplished. Jesus' return to glory. This is the final exclamation point. The ascension of Jesus Christ signifies that his work of atonement on the cross is complete and successful. It's done. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It's done. Okay, there is no more that Jesus had to do. Now, he rose from the dead and he ascended back into heaven. But when he said on the cross, "It is finished," it was done. The atonement for your sins was paid. The penalty was paid. The shame and the guilt, it was paid for. It was covered in the blood of Jesus, and it was done successfully because Jesus came and carried out his Father's will from birth to the cross, to the grave, and back to sitting at the right hand of God the Father. It was completed successfully. Now the devil tried in every way to stop it from happening. And the devil was defeated. Now, the devil's pretty stupid. No, the devil's very stupid. He is very stupid. Because number one, he was going to try to exalt himself above God because he wanted to be praised and glorified. So he was going to try to put himself way above God. Well, he got himself kicked out of heaven. And he tries every day to stop people from living for the Lord. But I want you to know, look at the cross. Look toward the cross. Because the cross is empty. Jesus is no longer hanging on it. I tell you one, I just got to say this. One thing I can't stand to see is I can't stand to see a cross with Jesus still on it. He's not on that cross. I know that it's a symbol of what he done, but he's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He is very much alive, and he is ready to do something in your heart and in my heart and within our lives and even greater within our church body. Now, this brought about a change of realm. Jesus did not simply move up into outer space. He was transitioning from the dimension of time and space to the dimension of God. Now, I want to say something. You and I here on this earth, we know time. And we know the seasons. Because now that's something that I never can wrap my brain around. Right now, we're at 11 o'clock or 11:05 in the morning. And if you go halfway around the world, it's dark in another hole. I cannot wrap my mind around that. I ain't even going to try to because it would just cause smoke to roll out my ears if I tried to. It's all God's handiwork. I can say that. So Jesus, though, he was being moved. He was going back to God, going back into the heavenly kingdom. And in God's heavenly kingdom, there knows no time. There are no seasons known there. Because the Bible says that to God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So there, God doesn't know time at all. But you and I know time. Sometimes we're like, "Oh, is this day ever going to get over with? This has been such a hard day." I know a lot of people who say, "Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. I won't have to worry about being on the face of this earth and going through this struggle anymore." They act like that they're trying to do it on their own. But he's going back to be with God, to sit at his right hand at the throne, to take his place of authority. And the veil had been removed. His heavenly glory, which was veiled during his time on the earth, is now fully restored. Now, I want to read something to you real quick. And I believe, too, this was Jesus showing his glory. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Jesus took them up on the mountainside, and he was transfigured, and those three got to see Jesus during the transfiguration. He was showing his glory and his power. He was showing them who he was. Now, could you imagine? Could you imagine if you got to see Jesus in his full glory? I don't think any of us would even be on our feet. Now, Jesus will not set foot on the face of this earth until he comes back and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. But if Jesus was to come back right now and we saw him in his glory, there would not be one person sitting in a chair upright. I firmly believe that we would be so awestruck by his power and glory, we would be on our faces worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But while he was on the face of the earth, nobody saw that while he walked during his time of ministry on this earth. But now that veil has been removed and Jesus is in heaven in his full glory, radiant. And now, I've had people come up to me and ask me questions like that. Well, what's Jesus like? I don't know. I haven't seen him yet. I experience him every day in his power and glory, and it's worth living for, I can tell you that. But I know this, Jesus is alive, and with that power and glory that he has transitioned that into your lives. Now, with the naked eye, or with the human eye, we won't be able to see him. But when we get to heaven, or when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those of us that are remaining are quickly changed to caught up to meet him in the air, then we will see Jesus. And oh, I can't wait. But folks, I want to tell you something. You and I have a work to do. We're God's body, and we should never say, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not experienced enough. I tell you this, if you'll get into the Word of God and read and study it, and if you'll pray often, and if you'll seek God, and if you'll draw from the power that He's given to you through the Holy Spirit, you'll quickly want to be changed, and you'll quickly want to live for Him, and you'll want to do what He's called you to do. I've had people come to me and say, well, Brother Jim, I'm not very good at being a witness. Well, I wasn't either at first, but I would ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to reach out. Because I told you, I was an introvert. Now, if I was to walk in this church as I was as a new Christian, I was still kind of very introverted. You would see me, I would probably come in the farthest door. I would probably come in last and sit down. And as soon as church was over, I would have left without saying a word to anybody because I was too scared of people. That's how I used to live my life. And I'm thinking, well, God, you've called me into ministry. How am I going to preach? I can't even stand in front of people and talk. I can't even stand one-to-one with somebody and have a conversation. Because I get too shy and too embarrassed. And over time, I watched God peel back the layers of my life because I didn't want to live that way. I didn't want the world to know me as they used to know me. I want people to know me for who I am now. I am a child of the living God, and I want people to see the radiance and the power and the love of the Lord in my life. And I want people to know that I am changed. I want people to know that I am not who I used to be. Do I still have faults? Yes. As long as I'm in this physical body, I will have faults. But I am trying every day by His power to change those things that make me trip up every day, because I give all of myself to the Lord, because Jesus gave all of Himself to me. And without Him, I'll say this many times, and I hope nobody ever gets tired of hearing it, because without Him, you and I would have absolutely no hope at all. Secondly, the current reign, power and authority. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God. He is in a position of ultimate governance and authority over all powers and rulers. Now, on the face of this earth, there are people who claim to be princes and kings and queens and governors and whatever. There are types of authority on the face of this earth. And Jesus is above every single one of those bodies of government and royalty. There is only one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus rules and reigns over every single one of them. Now, not only that, but Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus, do you realize that He is our mediator? He talks to the Father on our behalf. When we pray, now I don't know this, and I'm not saying this is how it happens, but maybe this is how it could be, that when we're praying, can you imagine Jesus saying to the Father, do you hear what your child is praying? I know that God hears, but Jesus is saying, I died for that one. And so, Father, please pour out your mercy and your grace and your healing upon that body or that life. Strengthen and lift them up. Basically, Jesus is our defense attorney. Jesus is the one who's saying, I died on the cross and shed my blood for that one, and they've been redeemed. Anybody ever been in a court case or ever watched court on TV? Well, you always know that there's a guilty party, and what does that guilty party have? A defense attorney. And now that guilty party has to pay the defense attorney a lot of money to represent them in court. And that defense attorney has done a lot of work. He or she has been schooled enough and has the knowledge and the know-how to try to pull strings to try and get freedom for that guilty defendant. Now, that's how it works in the way of the world. But here's how it works with Jesus. Jesus is our defense attorney. And here's the good news. You and I owe Him, but we don't owe Him money. But here's what we do owe Him. We owe Him our very life for what He gave. And Jesus, He does not have to use crafty words to try and prove our innocence. He says, I died and shed my blood, and that person who received that grace and that forgiveness, who has been redeemed by my blood, is innocent. I believe that's how Jesus presents our case before God the Father. Now, like I said, I've never been there. I don't know how He says it. But I tell you what, I firmly believe that's how it could be. We have a very sympathetic high priest. He remains active and engaged, serving as our mediator and advocate. I did kind of jump a little ahead on that. But He's very active. He's still Jesus. He's King of Kings. A lot of people live their lives like Jesus is dead. A lot of people live their lives as when the disciples ran up and locked themselves in the upper room and lost hope. And I can't understand that. If you get saved and you trust Him and you have a relationship with Jesus, then basically you're saying, I give my heart and my life to you and I become one with you, Lord. And I'm going to actively engage in you because of what you've done for me. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let these little hindrances stop me from being bonded to you, Lord. But yet so many people in this day and age, when people make fun of them for being a Christian, or when they make fun of where they go to church, or they make fun of you, call you weirdo because you're telling people about Jesus, and then all of a sudden people start losing their faith. They start losing their joy. And then people start living like Jesus is dead because they... Now listen to what I'm about to say. Jesus will never turn His back on you. So if our lives get to a point where they seem dull and meaningless, it's because we turned at some point and walked away. It's at some point that we let maybe unforgiveness come into our hearts and lives, or bitterness, or we try to do things by how we want to govern them instead of abiding in Jesus' commandments and living by them. We want to do things our way. So guess what happens? Over time, the more you get away from the Lord, you will slowly die on the inside. But Jesus is alive. He's still very active in the church today, as He was when He walked on the face of this earth, when He died and ascended back into heaven. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. So if we ever seem that like the Lord's left us, it's because we turned and walked away from Him. And I want you to know this, prodigal, any prodigal, I've walked away from the Lord. I've gotten angry with Him over certain situations that didn't go my way, and I turned my back on the Lord and walked away, mad at Him, throwing a little 5-year-old baby fit, stomp my feet, fold my arms. Well, God, if you ain't going to do this for me, I ain't going to do that for you. I ain't going to live for you. That's it. Boom. And I tell you what, that's the most miserable place that you could ever get yourself involved or even get to. But I want you to know this. You can always make a U-turn and come back because Jesus is actively looking for... He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. Now, I don't know who sings it. I don't know a lot of the contemporary artists nowadays, but I'll tell you what, there's one song that I hear on WBGL a lot, and in that song, that man's talking about going, about Jesus going and leaving the 99 to go after that one. And I thought, you know, so many times I've been that one. How about you? Have you been that one? Are you that one right now? Are you in a place where you've gotten so far away from God you feel desperate and desolate and lonely? Well, He is still actively calling your name. And if He's calling your name, please don't turn a deaf ear toward Him. Open your heart and go back to Him, because He'll receive you. I mean, the father of the prodigal son, when he saw his son coming back home, he ran after him, ran to him, put a robe on him and a ring on his finger and embraced him. And they had a celebration. Well, now, if that earthly father did that for his prodigal son, I want you to imagine what Jesus will do for you when you decide to U-turn and go back to Him. Now, don't you think there would be a celebration? Oh, yes. Oh, I wish we could see the celebration in heaven. But that's not how it is. That's why we live. The just shall live by faith. We have to listen to His voice. He's our mediator. So even when we walk away, Jesus is still saying, I died for that one, Father. I died. Lord, God, I'll keep, and I believe this too. I believe that Jesus prays for us. How many of you believe that Jesus prays? The Bible says that the Lord sings over us. I believe that He prays for us too. He prayed for us. He prayed for people on the face of the earth. Don't you think He still prays for us now? I know there's been many times in my life, I'm sure the Lord prayed for me a lot. I know a lot of people prayed for me to get saved. I know even in times when I walked away from the Lord, I had people reaching out to me going, what is going on? What is up with you? Are you crazy? And all it took was turning back to the Lord. All it took was depending upon Him and not myself. I've watched God change me. I've watched God do some miraculous things in my life. And I've said this before. Now, I've pastored a few churches, but I've been blessed. Being right here at Bosque Dale, the little church on the hill. I can't tell you how blessed I've been. I've been, you know what? I know now officially I stepped into the role in September of last year. Well, that was man's way. But I firmly believe, I've been here about 4 years now. Like four total? Yeah, close to four. And I've been blessed every Sunday. God has caused His church to grow. Everything that has happened here, it's been because of God. And I've never, ever wanted my will done here. I want His will done here in this church. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are here each and every week and for what you do. I want you to know this, that the things you do for God, even when you feel weary and tired, just get on your knees and praise Him and pray and seek His face and say, Father, I just need to be held. I need to be empowered. The Holy Spirit is alive inside of me and I need that power to rise up. I need You to lift me up again, Lord, and He will do exactly that. When the journey starts getting tough, He is right there to uphold us through that journey. Intercession. Well, I done talked about praying. But He does pray for us. That means that we can approach God's throne with confidence for mercy and grace. Don't ever approach God like a timid little scared. You remember in The Wizard of Oz, the Cowardly Lion, he wouldn't go before the wizard. He was too scared. He kept running back the other way. That's how a lot of people treat God. That God wants you to come boldly before His throne. And God, all He wants you to do is lay your heart out before Him and surrender. And God wants you to voice and tell Him what He knows, but He's waiting for you to confess and bring it out in the open. And He's wanting you to tell Him, I am weak without You. I can't walk this life's journey without You in front of me holding my hand. I can't live another day without Your love. Sometimes that's what He needs to hear. And Father, I surrender my heart and life to You. And His mercy and His grace will be poured out upon you. And when you have sinned, you will be forgiven when you confess of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Because remember, the blood has made you whole and clean. You are no longer stained and dirty. So quit telling people about your sin. Quit telling people how bad you are or how bad other people are. I'm not being political. I'm not. I'm not trying to bring politics because I will never bring politics into the church. But something that's really just griped me so bad, and I've done it myself. I'm not innocent of it. But sometimes I've got to listening to the news or listening to other people, and I've got sour attitude problem. Sour attitude syndrome. Sass. I got a lot of sass. But the problem is, I start looking at what other people are doing and how they're acting, even our government, our president, and I've gotten aggravated, and I found myself throwing judgment at these people. And then I find myself getting bitter. And folks, this is what I want to say to you. If we start going down this road, and if we start living our lives that way, then that's how we're going to end up. We're going to end up bitter people. But if Jesus has forgiven us, and if Jesus wants us to pray for those who are in a sinful life, then that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to pray for our president and vice president. We should pray for our senators and our House members. We should pray for the state governors and the mayors of our towns and cities. We should pray for them. Are there ones out there doing wrong? Yes. But we ourselves still do wrong, so we should never point a finger of accusation or judgment against them, but we should pray for them. I believe if we as a church would seek all of God with all of our hearts and let the Holy Spirit change us, we would see ourselves looking at people through the eyes of the Lord, and that we would see others with the same love that Jesus sees them with. Now, me standing in this pulpit as a pastor and a Christian, the Lord loves me a lot. But you know what? The Lord also loves the prostitute that lives her life day and night with somebody different. The Lord also loves in the same way the drug addict, the alcoholic, the liar, the thief, the corrupt. The Lord loves them the exact same way that He loves me. And we, as God's church, need to start loving these people in the same way. The hardest pill I ever had to swallow in my life, and I told you this story, was having to forgive my father, or my earthly dad. And I tell you what, when it came down to it, man, I wanted to take him out back and smack him around. I wanted him to feel what he had done. I wanted to unleash on him the most hateful, hurtful words. I wanted him... I'm telling you what, man, the devil was just a feeding and stoking that fire. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord speak to me through the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, "You remember, when you do wrong, I always forgive you when you ask." And my dad was asking me. So, mercy and grace was shown to me on the cross. I had to show mercy and grace to somebody else. And there's a lot of times in my life that I have to show mercy and grace. Even when it doesn't feel right or feel good, I have to realize life ain't about me. It's all about Jesus. I'm going to just, these last couple of things and I'll close. The future hope, promise and presence. We have a limitless presence. By ascending, Jesus is no longer confined to this earthly location. He is now present everywhere at all times with His people. So the Lord's always around us. We can't see Him with the physical eye, but the Lord, the Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. So He's always here. And Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the ages, which means the end of this earth. And we are empowered for mission. The ascension was necessary to the day of Pentecost, the arriving of the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit to empower believers to be His witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that's our job. That's our calling. But I will say there's things being taught right now in some churches that shouldn't be taught. We have His Word. This Holy Bible is the only thing that we should read and study and take as God's Word. And we should definitely take it to heart and let it change our life. But sadly, there's a lot of churches right now that aren't doing that. And we need to pray for those pastors. We need to pray for people who are falling into a lot of the false garbage that's being spread in churches today. We need to pray for them. But we have limitless power by Jesus. We have a calling to be soldiers, to live by this Word, to stand up for this Word, and to not be afraid. So how about Boscadel Baptist Church people? Are we going to stand up and fight? Or are we going to let the devil have victory? I don't know about anybody else, but if I had to stand alone, I would. Well, I ain't standing alone because the Lord's with me. And the Lord is with all of us too. So let's do what God has called Boscadel Baptist Church to do, and let's get these seats filled, and let's tell people about Jesus, and let's lead people to Christ. The yard sale is coming up. It's time to witness. And when somebody comes up, all you got to do is say, do you have just a moment for me to share with you the love of Jesus Christ? Some people have never even heard that said to them. But I hope we'll do that each and every day of our lives, not just the yard sale, but every day of our lives, everywhere we go.